far. Just be writing these down, things to do on a stormy weekend. Yeah? SpongeBob, now that one, I do know. SpongeBob lovers. Anyone else? Got any? This summer I turned pretty. Mavis with the God Channel. Revelation TV, absolutely. Oh, we got one at the back, Maureen? Dad's Army, a last of the summer wine. Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, I was recommended a TV show at the start of summer by a friend, and I have to admit, I've binge-watched it. I got so into it. I started with one episode, and I was like, this is quite good. It's quite funny. Well, four seasons later, I am hooked, and I am eagerly awaiting season 5. Now, I just need to give a disclaimer. I'm not necessarily recommending it. I'm just saying I enjoyed it. This is it. Clarkson's Farm. Has anyone watched Clarkson's Farm? Okay, so listen, there's a little bit of fruity language, so that's where you're going to decide if it's right for you. Kids, stick with SpongeBob, if you could. Clarkson's Farm, if you don't know it, is all about the TV presenter Jeremy Clarkson, best known for Top Gear and maybe Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, who decided to leave the London life behind and give it a go of being a farmer at Diddley Squat Farm in the Cotswolds. Now listen, last time I preached, I told you that one of my childhood dreams was to be a farmer. And I've realised that this is the closest I'm going to get. So I'm living my dream vicariously through Jezza Clarkson at the farm, and I am learning so much about farming, about farming, really. I am now obsessed. I have got so much admiration for the work ethic of farmers. Do we have any farmers in the room? Ian, our favourite farmer, is in the room. Well, good on you, Ian, because I've decided I love farmers. I stare out the window on long drives, hoping to see a John Deere or a JCB. I'm fully hooked. But my favourite thing has been about learning about the crop season. Who knew there were so many stages before a bowl of pasta? It all starts in the fields with the farmers sowing some seeds. So I am fully in, and I loved learning, especially about harvest, which is pretty appropriate because today is Harvest Sunday. Now, I know that not many of us are farmers, and maybe other than Ian, and we might not have experience of it. But do you know one of the ways that we've been able to get involved with the season of harvest is, like Di said, through your donations. So as a church, we're really passionate about providing meals and food for people who need them. And that is just like a great way that you have championed the cause. You might not have grown pasta from scratch, but you have absolutely helped to put meals on people's tables. So thank you so much for donating. Now, it is Harvest Sunday, so that's why we've collected for the food bank appeal. And just a little bit later, we're going to be talking about a story from the Bible that links directly to harvest. And the story is in Luke chapter 8. So you can find it in your Bible if you want to. You can find it in your Bible app. It'll come up on the screen, but you've got a few minutes. Because what I want to do before we launch into the Bible story is set the scene for what October is going to look like here at FCC. So we've just finished September. Can anyone remember what the series was called during September? Sammy September, that's it. So throughout September, we were looking at this, the life of Samuel from the Bible, not Sam Packwood. So it was Sammy September. In October, we look at our mission as a church. Because exactly 1 year ago, as a church, we launched our mission statement and vision, and we launched like a 10-year plan. That was a whole year. And I think there actually might be people who have joined us in the last year. So if you've started coming to FCC in the last year, will you just pop a hand up? Let's see how many of you there is. Loads of people new to FCC in the last year. So you might not have heard our mission statement yet. I hope you have. I hope more than that you see it lived out. But if not, we're going to spend a whole month looking at what it is to become more like Jesus. That is our mission, is to become more like Jesus. Listen, we love him. We absolutely love him. We think he is the bee's knees, and so we want to spend our life modeling Jesus. And we know we will never get close because he's too good, but we want to spend every one of our living days trying to be a little bit more like him. So we believe that we do that by growing spiritually, living generously, and impacting our communities. And that's our vision for a church that we see. So we're going to take one of those each week in September, and then, no, October. And then on the last week of the month, we are going to have a bit of like a mini Heart for the House, where we are going to talk about what the last year has looked like, what the next year is going to look like, what goals have we achieved, what have we forgotten, what have we changed, and things like that. So that's an overview of October, is looking at our mission to become more like Jesus and our vision that we see that being done by growing spiritually, living generously, and impacting our communities. And so today we're going to start with growing spiritually. Now, what we're going to do is just cast our minds back 1 year. What would that be? The 5th of October, 2024. Cast your minds all the way back, and I want to ask you the question, how was your life then? Now, I'd love to hear all about your life, but just for today, I specifically want to ask, how was your spiritual life 1 year ago? Maybe you weren't even a Christian then, and you hadn't even stepped foot inside a church yet, and you are like in your first year of learning about Jesus. Maybe 1 year ago, you were like clinging on. Things were hard, and you have no idea how you are here today. Or maybe 1 year ago, you were like closer to Jesus than you were today, and there is no shame in that either. So where were you? How was your spiritual life 1 year ago? And just hold that thought in your head for a minute. Now I want you to think about today. How are you? Like spiritually, how are you? Are you feeling refreshed? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling on fire for the Lord? Or are you going through the motions? Maybe you just about dragged yourself here this morning. How are you spiritually? Now, I want you to fast forward in your mind to the 5th of October, 2026. In 1 year, where would you like to be spiritually? Where would you love to be in 1 year's time? And as you hold that thought, that right there is your spiritual growth goal. And that's going to look different for everyone. Your spiritual growth goal, I will not get that right every time I say it. Your spiritual growth goal might be that in 1 year's time, you want to be baptized. Maybe it's that in 1 year, you want to be really consistent with your Bible reading. Like maybe it'll be a daily thing, a monthly thing. Maybe in a year's time, you regularly come into church, not as and when. Maybe your spiritual growth, by a year's time, you'd love to give regularly. Maybe it's that you, 1 year's time, want to have the confidence to pray out loud in front of people. Maybe in 1 year's time, it's that you want to be able to confidently admit to your friends that you're a Christian. Maybe in 1 year's time, it's that you want to be filled with the Spirit. You want to do some of this speaking in tongues. Maybe in 1 year's time, it's just that you want to swear less and pray more. Whatever your goal is, hold it in your mind. That is your spiritual growth goal that we're going to work towards over the next year. Because if I've learned anything from my good friends on Clarkson's farm, it's that when it comes to growing things, when it comes to wanting to see a harvest, to see things produced in your life, what's really important is being prepared, making a plan, setting a goal, and working towards it. So as you hold that idea of like, what is my spiritual growth goal? I just want to ask you to write down, if you're a note taker, two questions. If you've got a good memory, I wish I was you. You can just hold it in your mind. And I'd love you to think about these questions, maybe this week, maybe in your community groups, or with a friend that you trust. The first question is, what am I going to do today to move me towards that goal? Now, make it achievable. Make it realistic. Make it something that you definitely could do today. And then the second question is, what will I do this week to move me towards my goal? And that's something that you are going to plan for, just like farmers plan over the year what they're going to sow, what they're going to reap, and what they're going to harvest. You're going to make a plan for what you're going to do. So what will I do today? And what will I do this week? And that is our spiritual growth goal, and that is how we're going to try and get there. So talk to your friends, your community groups about that this week. If you're a part of one, if you're not part of one, what a great time to join one as we seek to grow spiritually over the next year. Now, as I said, it is harvest. So we're going to look at one of my favorite stories in the Bible, which is about farming. It is from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. And it'll come up on the screen behind me. If you don't have a Bible, that's absolutely fine. Here's what it says. A large crowd gathered together. People came to Jesus from town after town. As they did, he told a story. He said, a farmer went out to plant his seeds. He scattered the seed on the ground. Some fell on a path. People walked on it and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. When it grew, the plants dried up because they had no water. Other seeds fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and crowded out the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil. It grew up and produced a crop 100 times more than the farmer planted. When Jesus said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears should listen." His disciples asked him, "What does the story mean?" He said, you have been given the chance to understand the secrets of God's kingdom. But to outsiders, I speak by using stories. And in that way, they see, but they will not know what they're seeing. They will not understand what they are hearing. And if at this point you're like, what? I don't blame you. It's quite a confusing part for another sermon. But thankfully, Jesus goes on to explain the parable. Here is what the story means. The seed is God's message. The seed on the path stands for God's message in the hearts of those who hear. But then the devil comes. He takes away the message from their heart. He does it so that they won't believe. Then they can't be saved. The seed on rocky ground stands for those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But they have no roots. They believe for a while, but when they're tested, they fall away from the faith. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear the message, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, so they don't reach full growth. But the seed on good soil stands for those with an honest and good heart. Those people hear the message, they keep it in their hearts, they remain faithful, and they produce a good crop. Amen. So, Jesus is using this farming analogy to teach people about the things of God and about the kingdom of God and about their place within it. Now, because we're less familiar with all things farming and agriculture, unlike me, who from Clarkson's Farm, I'm now actually officially like entitled to run a farm, I know that much. But if let's just say in 2025, like what would Jesus use as a way for us to understand? He'd probably teach us how to like grow healthy houseplants, or he'd tell us how to grow our social media platform, or he'd tell us how to use ChatGPT to grow spiritually. Like, he'd probably speak a different language today, but he was speaking to an audience who back in ancient Palestine understood what it was to farm and to do agriculture, and he would understand the analogy of sowing these seeds, because almost everyone would have been involved in, have experience of, or benefited from farming in some ways. So if you're thinking, like, why is he talking about a farmer planting seeds? And why is that relevant for me in Widnes in 2025? What he's talking about is our heart, and he's talking about the kingdom of God and how we can have a place in it. So we have in this story this farmer, and he plants these seeds in four different places. Now, it turns out maybe this farmer isn't actually very good, because the first place that he plants his seeds, and today the farmer is planting some forget-me-nots. Thanks, Dad, for the seeds. So let's just get them out. Hang on. It's going to be a mess. There we go. Okay, they are multicolored because they're actually hundreds and thousands because I dropped the seeds. Sorry, Dad. So the farmer, first of all, plants the seeds, sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. I assume that's how farmers plant seeds. I don't know. Might have taken a while over a field to plant that way. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. The farmer plants the seeds on the footpath. Now, what you need to notice is there's no soil here. The first place that the seeds landed, the footpath, where there's soil, no nutrients, no moisture. So it was, seeds didn't grow. They just blew away. The problem here is that the seeds that fell on the footpath were planted in the wrong place. I wonder where you are planted. Are you planted in a place where you will grow and you will thrive spiritually? Maybe that's to do with your environment or your company or the place that you spend a lot of your time. Where are you planted? I can look back on times in my life where I've been planted in the wrong place. Like in different seasons, that's looked different. There's been times where I worked jobs and worked in an industry that meant I couldn't be part regularly of church community. And then it became a bit of an excuse that I was working so I wouldn't be able to come that weekend. And I was working so I wouldn't be able to be at that event. And then all of a sudden, I'd pulled myself further and further and further away because I was planted in the wrong place. There's been times where I've been planted in the wrong place, where I've surrounded myself with people who haven't encouraged me to grow spiritually. Maybe they've embarrassed my faith or told me to like be quiet with my faith. I've been planted in the wrong place when I was at uni, and instead of just committing to a church, I'd church hop and I'd go to a different one every few months and try and make out like I was building some sort of community instead of just being planted in one place. Verse 12 says, the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. See, the problem here with the seeds that fell on the footpath is that they were planted in the wrong place. Seeds don't belong on the footpath. They need soil and they need nutrients. So then the farmer got somewhat better. The next lot of forget-me-not hundreds and thousands, he sprinkled here. And here is the rocky soil. Now, we've got a little bit better. There's at least some soil. So the farmer's got somewhat improved. But in and amongst this soil is loads and loads of rocks. So the seeds are planted, and they start off strong, but instead of digging deep, they stay at surface level, because they hit the harshness of the rocks and they don't develop roots. See, the problem here is that the seeds that fell on rocky soil were destroyed by difficult days. Just like the seeds were destroyed by the rocks in the soil, we can, like, sometimes if we don't develop deep roots, we can be destroyed by the difficult days that come our way. Verse 13 says, the seed on rocky ground stands for those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but they have no roots. So they believe for a while, but when they're tested, they fall away from the faith. And as I like think about this group of people that this might represent, I like feel a sense of love and loss for friends that like we once journeyed with, we once worshiped together. And they heard the news about Jesus, and there was like transformation in their life, and I saw it, and I saw them getting closer and closer to God. But then I saw difficult days come, saw trials come their way, saw unanswered prayers, and I realized that they hadn't developed roots. And so when these difficult days came, they began to fall away from their faith. And it's painful, isn't it, when you know of people who once heard with great joy the news of Jesus, but one day they fell away. That is this group that's represented here. And you know, without developing deep roots that we can dig ourselves into faith with resilience and grit and hope, when difficult days come, they might wipe us out. But as we grow spiritually, we need to dig deep into faith with roots that stick, with roots that say, I won't just follow Jesus on the good days, I'll follow him on the hard days too. So here we had the seeds that fell on the footpath, and the problem with them was they were planted in the wrong place. Here we've got the seeds that were planted in rocky soil, but the problem with them was they were destroyed by difficult days. So then things get a little bit better because there's more soil, but here we've got the seeds that fell among the thorns, and they are some big thorns. They are the closest that we could find, but they are some big thorns. Verse 14 says, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. So you see these thorns, they represent distractions. So the farmer sowed the seeds into the soil, but they got choked up by all the thorns. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm very easily distracted. Is anyone else easily? Thank you. So glad I'm not alone. I am the worst. At mid-conversation, I might get distracted and walk away. It's nothing personal. Just my brain's gone somewhere else. Mid-task, I will often forget what I'm doing and start something else because I'm very easily distracted. But the worst of the worst is when I try and spend time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, I'll be praying, dear Lord. Then I'll remember to put my washing on. Then I'll remember I didn't take the previous washing out, so I'll put that out. Then I'll remember I need a wee, so I'll just go for a quick wee. Then I'll remember I'm thirsty, so I'll just have a quick drink. And then I'll look outside and be like, thank you for the sky. Oh, and then as I'm looking out the window, I notice a cobweb, so I'll just get rid of the cobweb. And then all of a sudden, time's gone by. Got to go now, Lord, but thanks for being here and listening to all this. Because I'm a very easily distracted person. So I really relate to this group of people who distracted is their problem. Distraction is their problem. So these thorns represent distractions. And for some people, that distraction can be busyness. It might be that your brain just never stops worrying and you are constantly distracted by busyness, by needing to overachieve, by needing to fulfill your to-do list, by needing to do. But these thorns also represent different distractions. For you, it might be the distraction of worry and anxiety that distracts you from the peace of God. Maybe for you, like I said, the distraction is busyness, and that actually turns into stress, which robs you from just like being able to enjoy the rest of God. Maybe for you, the distraction is money. Like not having enough of it, needing to earn more of it. Maybe the distraction for you is like temptation. Whatever that looks like for you, and you are like find yourself coming up against this temptation time and time again, like a thorn in your flesh. Maybe the distraction for you is body image, beauty standards, or wellness. Listen, it's different for everyone. What's your biggest distraction? What's the one thing that loves to rob you from the peace and the presence of God? The seeds that fell among the thorns, they grew a little, but they were choked out by distractions. Distractions of money, of stress, of family, of temptation, of addiction, of fear, of anxiety. And these seeds that fell among thorns were driven out by distraction because they were starved of oxygen, because they were looking in the wrong places to feed them. They were looking to the wrong people to give them what they needed. So they were driven out by distraction. And then we've got the fourth group of people. And here we've got the seeds that were planted in good soil. And let me tell you, I know you can't tell, but it's good soil. I know that because I'm an expert now, and it looks the part, it smells the part, and it's not moving, and I think that's a good sign. So this here is good soil. So the farmer got the seeds, and sprinkle, sprinkle, he went. Sprinkle, sprinkle on the good soil. Well, let me tell you, the seeds grew. And I know you can see them already, but it's almost like it was one I prepared earlier. Because what happened in the good soil was that things grew. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be this one. I want to be the good soil. I want to be a person that grows spiritually. I want the harvest of my life to keep producing things for God. I want to be a person who's known for having a good, honest heart, like the scripture said. Because here's what the scripture says to define this one. It says in my notes over here somewhere, the seeds that fell on the good ground are like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts. They obey it and they patiently produce good fruit. Here is where things grow. With good soil is how we will grow spiritually. So what are the ingredients of good soil? Well, probably like in real soil, I guess it's like nutrients and water. But with spiritual good soil, there are three ingredients that this verse teaches us. And it's in the NCV version of the Bible that I love it the most. And it says that the seed that fell on the good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts. They obey it and they patiently produce good fruit. So if there was like three ingredients to making good soil for our hearts to grow spiritually, that's what I think it is. Honesty, obedience, and patience. Honesty, obedience, and patience. Honesty is literally just telling the truth and living like it. And that can come through confession. It can come through accountability. It can come through like a life of transparency and integrity. So some questions for you are you honest with God? Are you honest with people? Are there any parts of your life that you're hiding from God or from people? Are you the same person behind closed doors as you are in public? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, God is faithful and fair. If we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. He will forgive every wrong thing we've done and he will make us pure. You know, when it comes to honesty and confession and accountability, it's not to shame us, it's to free us. It's for our good, it's for our growth, and it's for our healing. Honesty is an ingredient of good soil where things grow. The next one is obedience. And obedience is just simply doing what God says to do. It's so simple, so why is it so hard? It is one of the hardest things to do what God says to do when you don't want to do it. It's hard to do what God says to do when you feel like doing something else. It's hard to do what God says to do when the world says, that's crazy, do it like we do it. Obedience is really hard, isn't it? But obedience cultivates good soil where we will grow spiritually. And then the last one is patience. And patience, again, produces good soil that will help us grow. Now, I haven't had a car for a while. I think it's been a few months. It's been in the garage 6 weeks, I think. And I am learning the art of patience because buses and trains, that's all I need to say. I'm a public transport person now. Well, listen, buses come whenever they want to come. Then they might not come. A train, again, does whatever it wants to do. Oh my goodness, am I learning the art of patience? And let me tell you, I'm actually still not very good at it. But because patience is something really hard that we continually have to work at it. But I do believe when we do learn patience and put it into practice, we do grow. I believe that when we patiently trust in God's timing for our lives, we grow. I believe that when we patiently commit to the hard journey of obeying God, when the world says do something else, we grow. I believe that when we patiently cling on to faith through the trials of life, we grow. Patience helps us grow. So honesty, obedience, and patience. I wonder which one of those things you might want to work on over the next year as you look to grow spiritually. I'm going to invite the band to come and join us. And they will they will suddenly appear behind me. And we're going to sing a song to wrap up our service that is called Jesus Have It All. And it's a song that is like beautiful with the words, but it's actually like quite hard to sing because I don't know about you, but like I want Jesus to have it all other than the things that are distracting me and the things that I quite enjoy doing. I want Jesus to have it all other than the things that I want to hold on to because I enjoy them in my life. But this song says, Jesus, have it all. And I think one of the ways we are going to grow individually and as a church is to say, Jesus, have it all. Have the parts of my life that I'm hiding from you. Have the parts of my life where I don't want to be obedient to you. Have my impatience. Jesus, have it all. If you are able to, do you want to stand with me? I believe that God's heart is for you to grow spiritually. I believe that you never should stop growing. I don't think there's any such thing as too old to grow spiritually or too well seasoned as a Christian to grow spiritually. I don't believe there's such thing as like being a Christian for so long that you don't need to grow anymore. We all get to grow spiritually to become more like Jesus. So as you just think about what that might look like for you, do you feel like the seeds on the footpath who were planted in the wrong place, maybe with the wrong environment or with the wrong company? Do you feel like the seeds in the rocky soil who are getting just destroyed by difficult days that keep coming your way? Do you feel like the seeds that were among the thorns that are getting driven out by distraction, where temptation is trying to choke you out? Or would you today like to choose to be like the seeds that were planted in good soil, marked by honesty, obedience, and patience, that will grow and grow and grow?